Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, God's continuing comfort and encouragement in our faith journey. What's in a name? You young parents, you know you went to great lengths to think about what you would name your children. Most of us care about earning and maintaining a good name. And certainly children and teens are very sensitive to being called nasty names. Actually, virtually all of us are averse to being called negative names. I will confess that one of the worst traits I see in some of our current political leaders is this calling other people by nasty names. It's a terrible example for our children and really for everyone. I wish that they would grow up and set a decent example and show some respect. So today we have a gospel lesson with some very significant naming going on. It may not be immediately obvious, but Matthew's narrative suggests that Jesus has been asking the disciples what they thought about his identity. And this time when Jesus asks, they are quick to answer several of the names that they had heard others saying. Some say you're John the Baptist. No, others said you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus gets quickly very specific, but what do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Now remember, Peter was the impetuous one. He often failed to think before he spoke or acted. But this time he gets it right. Now this had been gradually coming. The disciples have been watching Jesus' remarkable teaching, the healing, the miracles, and when Jesus came to them walking on water in the storm and calmed the raging wind, remember, that's when they fell down and worshiped him. How have you come to believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Is it from your being raised in the church? Maybe you went through confirmation, although that seems to scare away as many as it does seem to bring people into faith. Many of you have grown up in other denominations. Some of you perhaps had very little exposure to church as a child. And some of you came to church because your girlfriend or your marriage partner insisted. But still, that doesn't explain how any of us moves from being a church attender to a believer. Peter and the other disciples initially were invited to follow Jesus, and they felt some kind of attraction, but only gradually did they come to comprehend how completely unique and different this Jesus is. And finally, it's well into their time together when Peter finally utters this confession, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds by giving Peter an additional name. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, it's a real question whether Jesus really was calling Peter the rock, or more likely that Jesus was saying that this church would be built on that bold confession. We all know that Peter later, when Jesus is arrested, acts more like a marshmallow than a rock. And it's true for all of us at times because we're all human. And even with the Holy Spirit trying to coach us into faith, we just don't always hold up. And that's the whole reason we need a Savior. And Jesus takes on our sin as only he can. There are two other notable parts to this gospel text. Jesus tells Peter and the disciples, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In Lutheran and Roman Catholic tradition, this is called the Office of the Keys. As part of the ordination of pastors and priests, we are burdened with the responsibility for the forgiveness of sins. In the Lutheran worship service, it's primarily exercised at the beginning of the service when we do our order of confession and forgiveness. Nowadays, we rarely use the longer version, but that version warns, for those who are not penitent, your sins are not forgiven. But as pastor, I also exercise the office of individual forgiveness. On Ash Wednesday, many of you appreciate when you come to the altar and kneel, and we individually lay our hands on your head and pronounce your forgiveness. I can honestly say there have only been a few times in my 50 years as a pastor that I have had to caution people that they risk forgiveness by their own avarice. It is a sobering responsibility that I bear, always preferring to announce the grace and mercy of God, but also reminding people that you can't mess with God. Finally, Jesus instructs his disciples to tell no one what they've just confessed. That seems strange. And yet, it's much simpler than we would think. We can't make anyone come to confess Christ. We can teach, we can share our story, we can require our children to attend church while they live under our roof, we can pray for our friends and our loved ones, but we can't make them believe. We really can't enable them to trust in God. The Holy Spirit will continue to work on us as well as them. But each of us ultimately needs to stand up and make our own confession. It's all in a name. And names are important. But the most important name of all is that in baptism, we are marked with the cross of Christ, and we now bear his name. We belong to Christ. Amen.